Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop-Ons podcast special mini episode. Hey, John.
Hey, man.
So we are here to talk about the Arrested Development cast New York Times interview situation. That's what I'm calling it.
That's good. It's a long title.
Yes, we're in the Situation Room.
Okay.
Wolf Blitzer is with us.
Wolf, hello. Is that how it sounds?
I don't know. Oh, I might cut that. But for a bit of context, let's go back a couple of weeks. On May the 7th of this year, Jeffrey Tambor gave an interview with The Hollywood Reporter. And the interview was really about transparent, some of the allegations leveled against him regarding his behavior toward not only actors, producers, the creator of Transparent, but also some personal assistance for the show. And he briefly made mention of a, quote, blow-up between himself and Jessica Walter while filming Arrested Development. Yeah. So, a few weeks later, I want to say May 23rd, so just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, like 2 days ago, yeah.
The New York Times interviewed the cast sans Michael Cera and Portia de Rossi,
yes.
But everyone else was there as a promotional activity for season 5. And as any good journalist should do, this journalist asked them about Tambor's sexual assault allegations, allegations of poor behavior, in particular, what he said happened on the set of Arrested Development. During this portion of the conversation, and we'll link to it in the show notes, Jason Bateman, David Cross, and Tony Hell, to varying degrees, attempted to normalize Tambor's behavior.
Yes.
Will Arnett said nothing, which certainly isn't as incriminating, but it is bad to say nothing. Jessica Walter, at one point, starts crying. There's actually audio,
Yes. And
that doesn't seem to stop Bateman, Hale, Cross from normalizing
Tambor is just awful, yeah.
Behavior. He says absolutely nothing. Mm. He's almost as bad as Arnett by not just saying, guys, you don't need to defend me. I did bad things. I need to ask for forgiveness, and I need to be contrite about this. Within 24 hours, Jason Bateman and Tony Hill issued apologies on Twitter. They seemed sincere. As of this recording, to my knowledge, David Cross nor Will Arnett have issued apologies. If they have and I didn't see it, you'll hear something now. Today is Thursday, May 24th, and earlier today, David Cross tweeted the following. I have been off Twitter at the behest of my wife. I have apologized to Jessica in private, parenthetical, the way I prefer to conduct apologies to people, close parenthetical. I do not have a PR firm repping me. I hope this interview I did earlier is edifying on at least a tiny level. John, what were your initial reactions to all of this?
Yeah, so I haven't been getting on social media a lot lately. That's a therapist thing. When I get on, I get really mad. And she's like, maybe you still get on that for a while. And so I didn't know this was happening at all. And you texted me and said, hey, the New York Times did a interview. It gets real raw. Maybe you should read it. And so I read it. And it starts out kind of normal. They're just like, what's the show like now that you're in season 5? Whatever. And then this reporter, I don't want to say goes for the throat. That's not the right way to put it at all. Because this is something that should have been asked. And she asks, what's it like with Tambor on set? And they're all up his asshole. As soon as it happens, Bateman can't wait to say, well, we're a family. If he's not on this, I'm not on this. I don't want to be here if he's not here. And slowly you can kind of hear Jessica Walter just starts crying when they talk about this incident. And she can barely get words out. She's definitely devastated by this. And she says, right now for this interview, I forgive you for the New York Times because we have to work together and be friends. And Jeffrey Tambor, without any emotion, just goes, absolutely. And I hated it. And it made me so mad. And my heart was so broken that they would treat this woman, who has been on sets longer than Bateman's been fucking alive, like this. I hated it so much that they just basically gaslighted her into saying, oh, you didn't do anything, And I hated it. And that's kind of where we were at this morning. And Bateman released this apology. I haven't read Tony Hale's But Bateman's apologies, it, I guess, seems sincere. But again, I told you that I think a publicist had a lot to do with it. So
we'll talk about that in just a minute. So there's this moment Bateman has, and this is part of what anyone can hear if they try to find this 60, 70-minute clip from the interview. He, part of how he tries to normalize it, which is rather problematic, he says, in effect, this is an industry that encourages creative people to be creative, obviously. And that can perhaps persuade people who are not as sensitive, can be far too emotional at times, to find their way into this industry and they'll experience success. And what he was ultimately saying was, hey, that's just the job, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't like fucking, don't be a prostitute, yeah, right? That's true. Just, it comes with the territory. And Alia Chakra has this amazing moment, and this is one of the few things she says during this section of the interview where she says, that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
And part of what we're doing is having a conversation about how we treat one another. And as I was thinking about it today, what I find so frustrating and so complicated and disappointing, for 7 months or so, our culture's been having a conversation about how people in entertainment treat one another, in particular, how white men in position of power treat everyone else, mm-hmm. and how they use that power, whether they do so explicitly, like Harvey Weinstein, or perhaps in some cases implicitly. This was not the only, but this was one of the ways this conversation started, where people were talking about, okay, let's just table sexual abuse. Let's just talk about how people in this industry, in particular white men, talk to other people on set, fellow actors, directors, writers, producers, creators, assistants. Let's have a conversation about how deeply inappropriate that is. And let's have a conversation about how, for the longest time, we've used what could best be described as essentialism to ignore and justify this behavior. And this term gets used a lot when people talk about gender, for example. Men should behave this way and women should behave this way. That's gender essentialism. Well, this is what I would perhaps describe as creative essentialism. If you are a creative person, you're probably a little unhinged at times. No, no. What's frustrating is one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways this conversation started is exactly how Bateman tried to defend and normalize Tam Buer's behavior, which suggests that over the last 6 or 7 months, he's learned nothing. It's as if art imitates life.
Oh, sure.
And I don't understand how he could have learned nothing.
Yeah, it's disheartening, and it's one of those things where, part of me wants to not let this affect me as much as it is, and you know, I think I'm past the point, and I think a lot of us are, where we can like compartmentalize these kind of entertainment issues that we have, where, you know, so and so, like Kevin Spacey, for example, turns out to be a terrible person, and I can't watch House of Cards anymore because of it, you know, but at the same time, you want to celebrate the work of, you know, Robin Wright and all these other people. So it's one of these things where, regarding a show like Arrested Development, it is hard for me to watch the show and love the show and know in the back of my mind that at one point, everybody in this room, except for Aaliyah Shawkat, made this older woman cry, you know.
Jessica Walter deeply trying to defend herself and saying on more than one occasion, this is not normal. I've been on sets for 60 years. No one's talked to me like that. But everyone's had those moments. Not like that. You understand how degrees work, right?
Yeah.
And hearing Tony Hill say things like, we've all had these moments. We're just a family. These things happen in families. That's not enough. You can't. These things don't happen in families.
No. And especially a family, I think, that would be as close as these people. You know, like, they've gone through the whole, you know, the show's been canceled. They've been through that together. They've been through the show got renewed. They've been through the show got renewed again. Like, they've been through these things together. And then to just kind of normalize this behavior is disheartening, because you don't want to think that Bateman and David Cross and these people will be like that. But they are. And exactly, you're right. When she says, I've been on Sith for 60 years, this has never happened. And Bateman comes across and he says, I've yelled at you. We all yell at you. And I want to stop and go, why?
And once again, conflicts happen, but it's that kind of false equivalency. Sure. Where he mentioned this in his apology, that he was regrettably too focused on defending Tambur because he understands Tambur to be a person who's trying to do better and be better, and that's fine. But you mentioned compartmentalization. You can do that. You can support someone,
sure,
and still say in front of them, your behavior was really bad for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable saying that, because part of supporting someone is being honest with them. Yeah. At times, support doesn't always need to be just blindly endorsing and normalizing bad behavior. That's not support. That's support, I suppose, in a mob movie, but that's not what real support is like. And hearing someone like Aaliyah Shawkat, who's 20 years younger, 25 years younger than people like Bateman, Hill, Cross, Arnett, hearing her articulate, and I said this to you before we started recording, articulating in a beautifully concise way everything that was wrong with what he said, was so delightful. In a moment that wouldn't seem to have any delight, there was this one delightful moment where she says everything you need to say, which is, that doesn't make it okay. You understand that, does it? How are you not getting this after 7 months? How are you not getting this? And that's part of what I found so frustrating as well. And they just moved on beyond it. Like, she didn't say a damn thing.
Like they just turned her off and closed the blinds on her, quote unquote. And, you know, that was that. And anyway, I think it's messed with me a lot more than I thought it would. But in a way, I guess I'm happy that it has, that I can, that I know that I know this is not okay, and that I do truly hope that these men have learned from this, I should say.
So can I ask you, what is your relationship with art and entertainment that was either produced by or featuring figures like this?
It's hard for me to... This is such a hard question. It truly is. And the perfect example for me is Tom Cruise. And this is true. I think Tom Cruise is such a goddamn good Hollywood movie star. I truly do.
I wouldn't disagree.
But
with
in
you.
His personal life, he is just a garbage fire of a man who has treated women so poorly, and I can't justify it. I can say that perhaps a religion has made him a little bonkers, and that he mentally needs a lot of help. But it is so hard for me to not just love Tom Cruise movies. And I think now with films like the next Mission Impossible film, I know that I will probably go watch that, but I am there for, and I'll tell myself this, that I'm there for Simon Pegg. I'm there for Ving Rhames. You know, I'm there for the people behind the camera. But in reality, I know I do like Tom Cruise movies. So it's hard. I think it's hard. And I don't want to say that depending on how bad the person was, I won't watch them. Like Kevin Spacey, I don't feel a need to watch any of Kevin Spacey's films anymore. I think he's kind of terrible. I don't know for me what the internal bar is. I mean, I'm guilty of just enjoying these things. Like, we're going to watch season 5 of Arrested Development. We're probably going to enjoy it. But how do we justify it? You know, how do you do it?
I say to myself, I'm already complicit.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Perhaps
wow.
Part of it. But in all seriousness, what? I don't think I have a good answer for you. I feel there's a lot of things I could talk about right now that I don't want to talk about. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about systemic abuse. I want to talk about capitalism, and I want to talk about how all of these things intersect to create the conditions for what we're seeing. But there was a French philosopher in the early 20th century named Louis Althusser, and he wrote a really wonderful essay about ideology. And the main thrust of the essay is we're all just in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not sound so revolutionary now, but think 85, 90 years ago. And anytime someone writes one of those essays, you think, well, there'll be a moment where he or she will offer a kind of prescription, maybe. Or if they don't, you're reading this and thinking to yourself, they found a way to get out of it. That's how they're able to say this. And he has this wonderful moment at the end where he says, and I really can't do anything because I'm in it too. And it's one of those moments for me when I think about my evolution as just someone who thinks, it's one of those moments where I don't ever want to deceive myself into thinking I have any way out of this.
Yeah.
This is just the culture I was born into. I know I'll never see the socialist revolution. I won't. And I just know I will live and die in a capitalist system that exploits people for others' entertainment, myself included, and I can do small things to affect change, but I will live and die in this system. And while on my worst days, that drives me towards a kind of nihilism where I think, why does any of this matter? And I suppose a friend of mine who's also my son's pediatrician, Brian Wakefield, he and I have had conversations about this, and he said to me, you just wake up the next day and help a sick kid, and that's how I get through. I know there's always a sick kid, and I know I won't see the end to the kinds of diseases that I see kill people every single day and every single year, but if I can help make a sick kid's world a little better, then that's okay. And that's part of, I don't know if I'm making a lot of sense,
yeah, no,
but
I understand.
Part of how I rationalize it, I don't think to myself, I will develop a grand unified theory where I know his or her entertainment I can watch, but not his or hers, because you've crossed a line, but you haven't, and yours is okay. I just think to myself, well, we're all just complicit in this, and I don't think that's an end point, because I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's part of what I say to myself is, nothing changes if I decide to not watch the next season of Arrested Development. That doesn't fix the systemic problems with the sorts of abuses that we see. But what does change it over a long enough timeline, having awareness, communicating that awareness, when you're in a situation where you can advocate for someone and for a set of ideas, you do it. And that's ultimately what's so frustrating about that interview. They had an opportunity to do just that, and they did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I, for now at least, that's what I have. And I don't know if it's good, and I don't know if it's productive. I don't know if it's counterproductive. It might be. Please tell me if you think it is. Definitely tweet at me and tell me. But that's what I have.
Hmm. Also, fuck Morgan Freeman.
yeah, we just learned that, by the way.
All right, we got some Twitter responses to Colin. Did you ask on Twitter?
Sure, I asked from the Hop-On's Twitter feed.
Yeah.
What would you? If you have anything to say and you want us to talk about it. So we have a few responses. Mm-hmm. Mark Pearson, who's a follower of ours, and he's wonderful. I think he's actually British. He's actually British.
Oh, he's actually British.
He's a real Brit.
He's not a fake Brit.
Unlike Charlize Theron.
Charlize.
He tweeted at us and said, it was a shocking interview, I thought. I love this show. It's one of my favorites. I don't know what to think.
Yeah. I think that's... Kind of echoing the statements I've the same way. I feel the exact same way. Yeah.
It's difficult to know. It's difficult to navigate. From that one Drew guy.
Oh, that's a friend of mine. My friend Drew. Music. Golly, I'm glad I remember that. That had been really bad. Drew Music, yes.
Drew says, hearing her cry was awful, and I wonder how Tambur treated Portia and Alia. Jessica Walters, a legend. And that's part of... What I think Drew is identifying is one of the other problems, and David Cross gestured towards this in the interview when he said something like, well, it's not like he just arrived on set and was this maniac, but I think, regrettably, what we've heard from Jessica Walter, what we've heard from Transparent, maybe he was.
Correct,
and,
yeah.
And for certain reasons, regarding privilege, maybe you couldn't see it or you didn't register what happened as being problematic in the same way that in the middle of this interview, something problematic was definitely happening, but no one paused and thought, well, with the exception of Jessica Walter and Aaliyah Shawkat, no one paused and thought, wait, is this okay what we're saying right
yeah,
now?
Exactly.
So I think Drew, even though we don't want to speculate,
yeah.
what he's gesturing towards is this idea, these sorts of things don't happen in isolation. This is usually a pattern of behavior.
Yeah, I agree.
But perhaps arguably one of the more thoughtful things, not that those two were not thoughtful, but
watch it.
I you forgot his name. But one of our followers, Mary Beth Rockwell yep. in San Francisco, she does rock indeed. And she I like her a lot. She always has thoughtful things to say.
God damn.
She I won't read the whole tweet, but she in effect says that for those who are saying they won't watch Arrested Development because of what Bateman, Hale, Cross said or perhaps didn't say, do those folks, and this is what she says, those folks do realize that their boycotts punish hashtag Jessica Walter too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you gestured towards that earlier.
Yeah, that's hard to wrap your head around. I don't think I thought about that, you know, and mentioning that, I think when I go into the show, I think I will say I'm watching this for Jessica, you know.
That's why she rocks.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to the best kind of mindset for me to be in.
And just philosophically, I think it's interesting because I was thinking about this on the drive over. If you read or hear that interview and you think, absolutely not. These white men and their obliviousness, I will not condone this. Well, once again, by not condoning it and not watching the fifth season, you're doing it for them on their terms and not doing what they did, but regrettably ignoring
yeah.
the great work of people like Aaliyah Shawkat mm-hmm. and Jessica Walter and Portia de Rossi and all of these wonderful women who work on this show. They're getting punished because of something Jason Bateman said. Yeah. And why should they get punished because of something Jason Bateman said or something Tony Hale said?
Yeah, and you know, part of me wonders how long the Netflix machine will let Tambor go on. And I don't want to say that, like, he's definitely going to be let go because, you know, before they've said, oh, Netflix has always said he's very professional. We never had problems with him, but obviously you have, and you've kind of maybe swept that under the rug. But Arrested Development, I think, is a show that if they wanted to replace George Senior with another actor, it would be done very funny, and it would be with one line of dialogue from the narrator, and things could keep going forward. And I don't know if we're going to get season 6 of Arrested Development, but I have a strong feeling that's something they might take into account.
Well, they couldn't this past time because they had finished principal
yeah.
photography yeah. when all of this happened. So there is something to be said about, and I think this happened with a Kevin Spacey film, right? Where
All the Money in the World, yeah. That's a great movie, All the Money in the World.
Who did they replace him with?
Christopher Plummer.
I wanted
so
to say,
fucking good.
Yeah, I wanted to say Jeffrey Plummer, which now I'm nope. mixing my old white
God,
actors.
So they did that in 2 weeks.
Did he really?
You should watch that movie. It's very, very good.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. But there's a lot of things they could have done, and it's fine that they didn't. But there are things that the, not all, but some of the white male cast members of this show need to do to successfully and accurately convey to everyone that they don't condone this behavior. Yeah. And it started months ago when David Cross, in effect, said, we all support him.
Yeah.
And I have serious questions about David Cross now.
I think David Cross is way up his own ass, and I always have thought that, so
that's just me. I have too, actually. Yeah. Okay. John, are we finished here, do we think?
Yeah. Stick with us. If you listen to when we review season two, episode two that comes out after this episode. Yeah. I was real negative, and I'm real sorry. But stick with us. Hopefully, I will get a little happier.
My apologies. It's one of our longest episodes of the Hop Ons podcast. It's not. Okay. For the Hop Ons podcast, my name is Colin Cox.
I'm John Phelps.
Hey, see you later, buddy.
All right, thanks.